You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hello, Garish, if you are around and have time, I'm now in an internet cafe shop and we can talk. I don't know if you can listen, if you can hear me, but you can give it a try. Just a minute, I have to cross the street. It is just a pity because the cafe shop, it's a very small shop and in a village on a big island.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
And there are only old men in this coffee shop. It's really interesting. But I'm living in a house across the street. And it's only 10 or 20 meters too far away from the shop. So I could have internet VLAN at home, but I do not. I have to come to the shop. But because you asked me that hi, I tried to go to the live stream. And actually, I wanted to speak also to Fakeologist, but as I see, he's not active at the moment. Does anybody listen? Does this come through? I don't know if I can talk about ecology because I have lost the connection with the surroundings here. And Garish, are you around? Just wrote to Garish. Is it Garish or is it Jerry's? I don't know. Jerry? Jerry? No. I have never heard his name again. What kind of French guy is this? Swiss French guy. Okay. Let me think of something. Yes, I was... I don't live in Switzerland anymore. I live now on a Greek island. I just go to Switzerland 3 or 4 times a year. And I am studying some old Greek history stuff, which after my epiphotesy... Illumination. After my illumination about 9/11 from a guy called Simon Schack, which I don't believe exists. Because there is no Simon Schack in Geneva in that school. There is only Simon, there is only Mario Hitten. And unless Simon was in another school, he was not a participant in that school. Well, he's not in the yearbooks, whatever. But thank you for the revelations. And I am, as I said, studying some older Greek stuff, which is, this society is quite disconnected from the mass media on an international level. And it was, let's say, a colony, actually, until now. Yes, until now. But it has changed. It is now very strict under the control of the banks and the international power holders. But in the years before this direct intervention... I'm sorry. These are the Pakistani refugees that are living on this island. They are completely illegal. Nobody knows how they are called. They are not registered anywhere. They come to some islands which are close to Turkey. And then they spread around on other islands. They find old houses which are not, which are empty, not used, and desolated. And they live there. And as I was told, there are about 200 in this village only. And they work on the fields for about €3 an hour. They are accepted by the locals. There are 500 people in this village in winter when there are no tourists. They are accepted because they are needed, because no one is going to do the harvest of potatoes, which is very important on this island, etc. Now I lost my line of thought. What I was saying is that in the previous period of occupation or manipulation or exploitation or domination of this spot on Earth called Greece, the methods were similar to those in Germany. It was, of course, also part of Europe. That's a point which I would like to talk with Geris about these Gladio stories and similar stuff. Because Greece was also under a dictatorship between 67 and until 74, 73 or 74, I don't remember. Anyway, and between between 74 and 81, when the right, traditional right party, which is on a level on international elite, guys like Onassis, which are well known and connected to the international mass-presented elite, which we can suspect also that they are actors, maybe, I don't know. I researched, for example, a little bit the story of the son of Onassis, who was called Alexandros, and who allegedly died in an accident with an airplane. And in my opinion, and from the understanding that I have now about narratives of setting, for example, a local elite, it could be possible that there never has been such a guy, and that this Alexandros Onassis was Jackie! And, you know, I don't know. It's very, very complicated, and it's so difficult to find material also. There are only two pictures of this guy. Anyway, in that period, 74 to 81, there have been several so-called terrorist groups, which we now can suspect with a high grade of accuracy that they were set up by the international intelligence apparatus of the Imperium. I don't want to say this traditional three-letter organizations, because they are actually not accurate. This is not about some the CIA or KGB or all this stuff. I think this is part of the narrative that is presented to the media. It is a much more networked international community of, I don't know, maybe 1 million or 2 million organizations, humanitarian organizations and cultural organizations and whatever, which are promoting and activating and presenting and leading local societies that were independent into beliefs and actions and decisions that they were not knowledgeable about before. So in this period there were several of these big terrorist organizations, quote-unquote terrorist organizations. I mean, the part of terror was real, because if you read, someone was killed there, and there is a bomb, and there is something, but it's all this kind of insinuated, I think is the word, insinuated violence which threatens and rises the emotions, and with emotions risen, it is more easy to lead people to your decisions that you propagate. And there is a long tradition of this so-called terrorist organizations, which, as I said, I believe that they were organized, insinuated, or structured, or led, guided actively by the international military apparatus, intelligence and military apparatus. Although there might or maybe could have been people participating in those organizations which are completely innocent in the sense that they did not know that they were used. I say this because several of these people are, at the moment that you are speaking, imprisoned. They always were part of the that left, quote-unquote, movement or tradition in Greece, which had started with the Bürgerkrieg, Civil War. Yes, Civil War. In 49, after the second so-called World War, and they were in this tradition of the left, of the communist Russian, let's say, aligned communist party. They separated from this communist party, which they called traitors, and they went to go to guerrilla stuff and whatever. But in the youth movement of the 80s, which I experienced as I was in that age in the 80s, they were absolutely rejected because they were betting, and first of all, they were using violence in a symbolic mean. Violence can never be symbolic. It's always a crime. If it is symbolic, whatever you are propagating with it, violence can only be accepted as an act of overreaction through emotion, and even then, if you kill somebody, it is not legitimate, and you are only being judged with a little less hard judgment, because you had this, overreaction, because whatever. So symbolic violence was never accepted from the, let's say, modern Greek youth movement, which started somewhere in the early 80s. And this is the history of the construction of the modernity in Greece. In 81, in Greece were elections, and for the first time after the constitution of Greek national state in 1832, maybe, I don't remember now dates. I don't remember dates and names, mostly. It was the first time that a so-called popular party came to power, and this was the Greek Socialist Party, which introduced all this capitalistic turbo apparatus with speculative capital and banking on international level and offshore and everything that was, they were part also of the international community, but they were representing a new social subject that was the middle class, the technocratic middle class, not the intellectual or the idealistic middle class, not the teachers and the professors and the artists, etc., but the media, which were then growing and expanding and occupying the social space. And so in this period, these so-called terrorist groups were acting. This was different from Germany, we have to say, because in Germany it was clearly the aim to pose a false opposition to the American imperialist, and to subvert the left, to subvert the social movements or the movements for democracy or freedom or equality or I don't know. In Greece it was not mostly about this content. It was more to construct the new social subject and active capitalist elite, which could keep Greece under the occupation with different means, not with the means of the military in form of tanks and I don't know, bases, naval bases, airport bases and whatever, to the means of media, culture, music, cinema and ideology in the end. So So I was wondering if these guys that allegedly were killed, executed from this terrorist organization, really were executed from this terrorist organization. And I was, to be honest, I'm sure that they were not, but I cannot prove it. There is just no material. But if you only hear the narratives of these guys, there must come a subject, a social and intellectual subject in the society which will be able to retrieve all these history and to correct the facts, because it's really a horrible distortion of reality that has happened. I'm going to say only one example, which I was really researching for several days and nights when I was still in Switzerland. And this was the husband of a well-known Greek politician, which is still active as a politician. He's called Dora Bakoyani. She's German educated and Britain educated. She is the leader of the traditional. She was the leader of the traditional right party, and she is now in some kind of center right organization. She is very successful, and she has a very big family, which is in the media and the industry in everything. Her son is now the mayor of Athens. He became the mayor of Athens just some weeks ago or months ago. And allegedly her husband was executed in 1979. I cannot research at the moment on Wikipedia because I'm on my, and I cannot not even type very, very good. On the mobile. He was allegedly executed in a street in Athens when he was going to his office at 9 o'clock in the morning. This guy, Bakoyanis, there maybe in total there are about 5 images of his. They are all exactly the same. It looks like, not really like a fake persona, but it looks like it is the image of one of his ancestors, maybe, that they used for creating this persona, who was allegedly during the... He was not even...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I have a
plan.
So, when the stream is talking, or this the voice of Up is sounding, I cannot hear it very well. It is breaking up. And at the moment there are some cars coming around. I have to find a new... I'm outside and it's getting cold. But inside is the television, because the guys are watching television. Yes, I was saying that this guy was not even living in Greece, allegedly. He was a very important... Nobody knew about him prior to that, but he was allegedly... very important journalist who was working in Munich for the Deutsche Welle during the junta. So that's why he was not in Greece, because in the junta the good people were around France and Germany and whatever. They could not be in Greece because they would have been incarcerated. So he was there. And then when he came back, he was one of the top targets of this very radical Greek left terrorist organization who wanted immediate socialism and whatever. And allegedly he was driving to his office. That's the story which I was reading. I was reading then the newspapers. I was 17 when this happened. And it was very impressive because You know, it was occupying the media space. Everyone was talking about it. And everyone was, you know, in a normal society, people have hopes and dreams, and they put their hopes and dreams to someone who represents them. So they said, oh, the 17th of November, they will save us, they will bring us communism. The ones who wanted communism, the ones who didn't want it, didn't think this. So it was actually dividing and intensifying the social space, and we were, I say we, the people which I was surrounded at that time, we were just not in this dualism, because we thought, oh, this is not a real contradiction. It's just no movement. It's just symbolic violence. So it cannot be anything good. So, and he was driving, as I said, in his office. Allegedly was at a street in Athens, which was very close to the street I was living. Later, when I went to Athens to study, it was Bucureștiu Street, one of the very top streets in Kolonaki, Athens, which there are jewelers there. And it is, I think it was also Pezodromos, that means pavement only for people, not for cars, which is very rare in Athens, you have to know, because everything is full of cars. And he opened the lift, and he was... There was someone in the lift, in the elevator, and he was shot directly and was dead directly. But there were no pictures of him. There were no pictures of the spot of the crime. There were no real investigation. It was all on an ideological level. Was it right or was it not right that they did it, or they hate the right, but the right did so many good things for this country. We wouldn't have schools and we wouldn't have anything. And I believe that this was a stage, not a stage, I believe it was a fake story, which was one of a whole series. This more than 50 killings and bombs and whatever these guys did. Allegedly did, and one of this is also part of a book which was written by an American, I don't remember the name, and I don't have the book here now, about Gladio. The title of the book is Dagger, Heart of Europe, and it is a classical controlled opposition analysis of a Gladio project that says that everything they did was true. It was not fake, there were no hoaxes, etc. And especially about the 17th of November, that's the name of this terrorist organization, he mentions the first violent act that this organization allegedly committed, and it was the execution of one of the CIA head officer in Athens in 76 or 77, I don't remember even the name, I cannot retrieve it in my mind. It was a very big thing. It's similar to the stuff that we were reading some years later that happened in Pakistan or Afghanistan. It was, in those times, Greece was like Pakistan today, I would say. And the methods were the same. When I was reading the book, I was thinking, already with this psychological point, viewpoint, and I was thinking, yeah, they just took him away, and he was retired, and he was somewhere, he went somewhere else, and they put another one. That's a little bit the stuff I'm thinking about, and I don't know what to do about it. I was talking with old friends from that epoch, I must say. And I just tried very, very smoothly to put the idea that, for example, Marfin, that was 2012, it was on the day that in the Greek parliament there was the vote to pass the first memorandum of understanding with the Troika, which is the IMF, the EU, and what is the third part? Commission, the European Commission. This would be the first package of cuts in pensions and strict rules in freeing the labor market and destroying all the structures of protection that were existing until then, which were not a lot, I have to emphasize, but they were going to be redefined and mostly lifted. So you would have free working hours. You could work 12 hours and you could work on Sundays. You had to work 12 hours. You had to work on Sundays. You had no protection. You had no social security, nothing. And it was on the day, it was in May 2012. I don't remember the date, maybe 5th of May, could be. And it was in the beginning, the Greeks were very, very, very expressive against this manufactured crisis and the aim of the international capital to put them under the direct control of international banks. Hey, Gary, hi.
You joined me. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm fine. I'm on a Greek island. I rent a house here, and yes, I'm going to live here. Yeah, but I will be back to Bern from time to time. Yeah. How are
you? Great. Fine. I was listening to what you were saying, and my take on this financial crisis in Greece is pretty simple, as far as I see it. And of course, I am not an expert in any field that I am going to address, but it's pretty easy. You set a financial crisis, you get them on their knees, you get them in debt, you get them in your control, and then suddenly, a few years after that, you get this package of migrants that come to your island, and there is nothing you can say or do because you lost any and all sovereignty you ever had when you were into the financial crisis.
Give me 1 minute, because I would like to finish this story, because I don't like to leave it open. I was talking about the biggest ever demonstration in Greece, with about 1 million people on the streets, who were going to the parliament building on the evening when the parliament was to vote upon the first memorandum and the first technocrat government, which was a Freemason called, what was the name? I don't remember. Papadimos. No, Papadimos. Papadimos.
Papadimos, okay.
Tsipras was very late. It was in 2015. Was in 2012. And on this demonstration, I was in Bern, I was on Twitter, I was on BBC, I was following everything simultaneously. And there was a street just before you go to the Syntagma Square. It is called Stadiou, and there is one bank which is called Marfin. It's part of the international banking community, of course. Very suspect guy, as all of those guys who own banks. But in this bank, which was the only building that had open doors and open windows, everything is closed if there is a demo in the streets, because everything is getting smashed from the anarchists and the young people who cannot keep their emotions. So this building was open, and in this building allegedly were four people and one pregnant woman, which were killed because of the fire that broke out after some guys allegedly bombarded or threw some Molotov into the building. And I believe that this was a psyop, that nobody died, nobody got hurt in that building. And I'm trying to find genealogical material about those people in order to be able to prove it, that these people maybe didn't exist or were invented or I don't know, something like that. And I was saying that I was trying to speak with older friends from the period of the 80s, and it was not possible. I could not even say a word. The vision of, this is all conspiracy stuff, I'm not interested in that, was the first reaction. So they live in this dream, in this manufactured history of the postmodern society.
Just in that sense, also the migrant afflux that we have in Europe currently is a good thing to create fake victims, because if you were to say that that person is an asylum seeker and no one knows that person in said country or whatever, it's easy to create fake victims in that sense.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean by fake victims, though. Please illuminate me.
A person that doesn't exist at all, you know, in the sense that...
Yes, I know what you mean.
You don't really need to create such a big background or whatever, just a nationality, an approximative age, and that's it.
Gerrit, can you give me a minute so that I can order pommes frites and something to eat, and I'll be back. You can talk, I'm listening.
Yes, so I don't know much about the story, the Greek history, at least in the political sense and in the modern time, let's say the past 50 years or so. The only thing I can remember is that I've read a book by two young ladies that traveled across Europe in the mid-60s. And those two ladies had the particularity to be addicted to drugs, and they went to Greece and they were confronted with the political repression at the time. Let me think a second. The name of the lady escaped me, but the lady was mentioning that she was residing in some guy named Kostas' house, that this guy was kind of a powerful person,
Kostas
had a big house.
Kostas what? What was
the family name was not mentioned. Sadly. She said in her book, which might be totally fake, I got to say, but
Oriana Fallaci?
No, I'm talking about two young ladies from France that traveled that backpack across the Orient and Europe for means of finding cheap drugs and for the pleasure of traveling. And the fact is that they were in Greece and they were telling the story of some powerful guy that owned a big house in Athens, and that this guy was harboring beatniks of some sort in his home for a time.
Maybe it was
and the story. Yes. In the story in the book, conveniently enough, is that the girl is saying that suddenly everything changed and that the military dictatorship came, and that a few years after she came, she heard that the guy was in jail or whatever.
I was not in Greece in the 60s, and in the 70s, my family came back from Germany. They were Gastarbeiter, they were workers, immigrants, financial immigrants or whatever, and they went back with us in 75, Greece.
Yes.
So
the
history.
The Gastarbeiter is a concept that totally disappeared. If you want someone to come to your country and work, that person will settle there, and that's a given.
It's interesting.
It used to be in Switzerland that in the 70s, if I'm correct, it was the fact that people came to work in Switzerland for a year, for a season, for example, and after that they had to go back to their own country. Yes, exactly.
Italian, Portuguese, it's Spaniards.
Yes.
But in Germany, it was more Turkish, Greek, and what else? I think mostly Turkish and Greek.
Yes. And there is this famous book by this Dutch journalist, Günter Wallraff. The book itself
I've read it.
Yes, I've read it also.
I don't like the guy. Yeah. Tell the story. I'm listening.
The guy pretended to be a Turkish immigrant for a while, and in his book he claimed to have worked different horrible job and that he was treated like shit everywhere he goes. So. When I read the book, to be honest, I was in my early teen, so I was fascinated. I was persuaded that everything was true and that the story was real, but. Of course, when the year passed, I had the chance to come across the book again, and I saw it in a different eyes. But I kind of like the method, if you know what I mean.
Yes. He was pretending to be someone else and intruding some surrounding. I think he did later something which I thought, wow, this is really stupid. What did he do? Did he go to the ISIS?
He did... No. What he did that I thought was stupid, it's probably what you have seen also, is that he kind of blackfaced to pretend to be a Somali immigrant.
Something like that. That's really.
But yeah. That was so badly done and so so not. There is absolutely no possibility watching the footage that this thing is not made up from beginning to end.
Yeah, there was this one with the ISIS is another German who is now very prominent in the far right movement, the alleged far right movement in Germany, which does not exist, which is manufactured. The banks also, as always. The leader of the AfD is a previous Goldman Sachs manager. So you can know. And this guy is called Jürgen Elsasser, I think. I think for sure it's Jürgen Elsasser. And he went, allegedly, I don't know, maybe he really went. Maybe he knew the guys, I don't know. Allegedly, he went to the.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
So, hi, this is Adam Miller from independentoccupier.wordpress.com. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Independent Occupy. What does it mean? Independent? Ah, it's about the Occupy movement. So,
probably.
Occupy, but. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this Jürgen Elsasser. I hope it's the right guy, but this guy is also far right, so it's not a big mistake. Allegedly, he went to Syria and he joined one group of ISIS fighters, which were there, and he lived with them for several days or maybe weeks. I don't know, don't remember. And he took interviews with them. He was afraid of his life, and he was. Describing, I didn't read the book, but I listened to one of his lectures on YouTube.
The first question I will have if I ever had the chance to ask the guy is, are you circumcised? Because I figure that in the condition they are living in Syria, it will be not that easy to hide the fact that you are uncircumcised, living that close to people for weeks.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you mean with that, but to me, it reminded me to the interview with Osama bin Laden prior to the prominent acts that he allegedly organized. There was some interview in the cave with one American journalist. It's all manufactured, true.
Yes.
We are living in an illusion. It's really, really crazy.
Yes, but you can.
I'm losing my mind.
Yes, but sometimes popular culture give you the trick, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you watch a movie and you find the character that is telling you the whole story. For the example, the Tim Osman, Osama bin Laden, whatever the other name is, character. There is a movie, a stupid Hollywood movie that anyone can watch that is called Iron Man 3. And in Iron Man 3, you get this character that is called the Mandarin, the Mandarin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the Mandarin is kind of this shadowy terrorist that is publishing this video and is threatening the Occidental world and especially the United States. And he seems to be in this exotic setting and it's all dark and he's very threatening and an intimidating character. And at one point in the movie, the hero character, Tony Stark, Iron Man, find out where the Mandarin is, and he is in the United States. So he go to the guy and have a chat with him. And the guy is played by the great Ben Kingsley. And the guy reveals himself to be an actor, a total actor that is afraid of violence, that is absolutely non-threatening, and that is just a guy that is paid. Because he's a good actor.
Okay. I've never seen that movie, to be honest. And I don't go to the cinema anymore. It's some years now. I am really sick of the whole cultural tradition. I'm even sick of German romanticism. I am sick of everything. I don't like everything.
Yes, let's say that they got me at a young age.
Yeah.
Yes, I think, but the thing is that they got me at a young age because When I was a child, we were traveling with my parents across Europe during the vacation on a camping car. And since we were not that well off with money, my mother used buy me these used comics, these second-hand comics, and all those were Iron Man, Spider-Man, Captain America. So, when I was in my, let's say, mid-20s and they started to get a series of movies out, I was an obligated customer, you know?
Yeah.
So in that sense, I was exposed to that. But to come back to the story of this movie, it's kind of the show of the method, you know? The revelation of the method is in that movie for me. Because the character is Osama Bin Laden, is a clone of Osama Bin Laden. And in the end, he's not what he's claiming. So.
And he looks also like him.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything is as the hat and the beard and the... The thing is that it's an Englishman with the accent and all, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really... It's not depressing, I have to say that. I don't feel depressed by this realization, but I had several turns, you know, since I discovered September Clues and then Fecologist. I have maybe... some tendency to paranoia, and I had many turns, and actually I think, I'm not even now realizing exactly what's going on, because it's very big, and it's very complicated, and it is a long, long time that it's going on, and there is no consensus, so you cannot really work it out with other people talking in your real life, so, but I have to say, yes, I wanted to say it's not depressing, but it is somehow also freeing. Just, I mean, I feel a little bit better in my life since I know that it doesn't make any sense. Why should I try to do this or that or be successful in this or that? I don't want this stuff. I'm not interested anymore in anything of this tradition of the last, I don't know. I'm interested in what happened and in the story. I don't know. I don't need this anymore. I think it's time to go really off this society with all means. You know what I mean? You cannot don't work, and you do have to have an income, and you do have to, but you do not have to have a television. You do not have to have an apartment. You do not have to have a car, you do not have to have many, many things, and especially the media, you do not have to have...
Yes,
media.
I will beg to differ on some of those things, like, for example, and I'm telling you that, last time I have an apartment in my name was probably 2012, okay? So I'm leaving you with
an
my girlfriend at the time.
An apartment that you own?
No, that the lease is in my name, you know, that I rent.
The rent, yeah.
Yes, so I'm living from places to places, always like with my girlfriend at the moment, or my fiancé Noah, or renting a room at some guy or girl place. And it's not really a good situation. I'd rather have my own roof and then try to do something with my life, you know. But I agree that you don't need to consume
What's
any
your
media,
profession?
That you don't need to...
What do you work?
I don't really have any profession. Let's say that for many years I was doing things that were off-grid and I was making good enough money with that, so I don't really have the need to.
You were a worker? Construction worker? Or whatever? What did you do?
No, let's say that it was illegal activities.
Drugs?
Kind of, without being too specific. Okay. So the thing is that when that stopped, when I choose to stop, because in the end I'm now 35, so I choose to change my my way of living, let's say, 2-3 years ago.
So how do you earn your money now?
Exactly. At the time, I did work since, of course, but the thing is that you need financial security if you want to achieve anything, you know? You cannot live as a bohemian for very long.
No, when you are young, when I was young, it's easy. And I can compare it now. I'm on an island where I was very, very often when I was young. Because there was it was a very good place to be. It was very peaceful. It still is very peaceful. There is There has never been a murder on this island. It has 17,000 population. There is maybe one small traffic accident per 2 years or something. You know, you can leave your door open. Nobody comes to steal anything or to... Even if you have everything outside of your house, nobody takes anything without asking. You know, it's so peaceful.
And did they did they send the token Afghani family there or Syrian family?
No, but I was saying that earlier, before you joined, in this village where I am, I'm not in the main city of the island. I'm in a small village. There are 500 inhabitants and maybe about 100 or 200 refugees from Pakistan, which are completely illegal, unregistered. Nobody knows them, but they are working. They are working on the fields with the agriculture. They have no social, you know, papers, nothing. They are completely illegal. And they are completely accepted by the villagers. They have their own spaces, you know. They,
yes,
they do not.
But as
do
long
not
as they are working, I don't really see a problem with that. The problem that I might see with that is those people use electricity, water. I mean, and also the hospitals, the social coverage. Okay. For the hospitals also?
Pardon?
For the hospitals also? For, let's say, for the doctors or medication, everything?
No, because the doctor in the hospital is free if you don't have money.
Oh.
They can just go and they do not get, you know, it's like a third world country. If you have money, you go to a private doctor or private clinic. If you do not have money, you go to the public to the public hospital, which exists here on this island, which is not very good, they say, but it covers everything. So you can, maybe you cannot do a heart operation, but
it's not really fair enough in that sense. Because let's say that I am a Greek national that is working on the island and I pay my taxes because I'm a good guy, like everyone should be. And suddenly I get ill, I get the same medical coverage as a guy that is making, let's say, almost the same money that I am, because without the tax I don't have any much money more. So the guy is working illegally, so he's making all money untaxed. And in the end, this guy has the same medical coverage.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's good. It's fair.
It's not really fair, to be honest. It's
why?
Not that...
Because they do not pay taxes? Come on, Gary.
No, the thing is not about the taxes. Is that if someone gets to access something, you know, it's how the system is supposed to be working. If the system itself is showing that there is no fairness in it, at least the aspect of it.
No.
I mean, if I am the Greek guy, I will find any way possible to stop paying taxes immediately.
If you are the Greek guy, you do not go to this hospital. You just go to us, you know. That's one difference. And the other one is all Greeks are trying to avoid paying taxes, but it's not possible anymore. And the third thing is, in this oral societies, everything depends on the relationships. So if you are Pakistani, or if you are Greek, or if you are Swiss, or if you are rich, or if you are not, it doesn't make a difference to the doctor who is going to treat you. If you are an asshole, he will not treat you well. If you are okay, if you are a good person and you ask for help, he will help you. He will not make a difference. You know, that's oral societies, and I like that more than anything else. I think that would be better on every level of society. But it depends on the relationships, or on the behavior, on the personality, on the good.
Yes, the thing is that there is two, let's say that there is two school of thought in that. Of course, I am the first one to say that let's rob the system, let's dry the state
it's
out of
its
money if possible. No, but
it's
I
not
mean...
about robbing.
No. Yeah. I mean on the extreme. On the extreme, there is, I mean, I am totally with taking every chance you get to withdraw money from the system or avoiding giving it some of your money. But the other school of thought will be that if you are living in a state and if you want that state to prosper and to work out and to abide by the law of said system, it's not fair. It's not fair. You cannot allow people to exist on the margin of that of said system and expect people to behave normally, you know? I mean the national in that sense.
Look, I understand what you're saying. Maybe this applies to Switzerland, because in Switzerland you really get something from the system. But you are a slave of that construct.
Oh,
you
yes,
have to pay
course.
For the construct. You know exactly how expensive life is in Switzerland. You cannot have a house. You cannot have housing if you have, for example, debt.
Yes.
You don't get a flat. It's impossible. And you are part of the bureaucracy. Even if you do not work, even if you do not do anything, you are registered. You are being paid. If you don't have money, you know it's a different. It's like
yes, but
installation.
Yes.
It's like
yes,
an installation.
But the thing
you
is
are
that
living
you pay for things that you don't want. You know, and
yes,
that's even morally in some case you totally disagree with, but yet
yes.
You pay for it.
Yes, look, but you have to have something to pay. And if you are a Pakistani, you do not have anything, so you cannot pay. And the second one in Greece is the system does not pay anything. They do not pay rents for years now. They have risen the limit for even this small rent that you get when you are old and when you are an agricultural worker. You don't get it at 63, you get it at 67 now. And it's 500 euro per month. You know what that means. It's
yes.
less than the Swiss obligatory insurance, medical insurance.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. I pay more for my medical coverage than what they have to
yeah.
live for a month.
Yeah.
But,
and so,
let's be honest, medical coverage in Switzerland, at least in Geneva, it's premium. And anyone that say otherwise has been treated in Dubai in some private hospital or whatever, you know.
Why did you go to Dubai? What the hell?
No, I mean, if you are saying to me that medical coverage in Geneva is not good, I mean, you know some private hospital in Dubai that I don't know of. I mean, in Switzerland, it's excellent. Any problem you get, you are treated quickly. Get all the attention you need, everything is there. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know. I like.
But it's a robbery. Each and every month, you are robbed out of your money.
Yes, I think Arp was saying that if money would not exist, it would have to be invented. I was thinking about that many times, and I think that in complex societies, interactions have to be mediated with something. You cannot just exchange shoes with potatoes. It's not possible. This is only possible. It was possible maybe in prior times, but at the moment it is not possible. So
the real problem is that the shoe is you cannot reach the guy that is making the shoes. If the shoes were produced in the
yes.
same street which you are making your bread, that you're exchanging
yes.
for the shoes, for example, that will be possible, but try to get that guy in China to take bread as a payment for shoes.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to have exchange, but you know, at the moment that you realize that those who have the means that rule upon the money that mediates all interactions in society, defines the worth of your work, the worth of your health, the worth of your whatever, your body, your emotions, everything, they have the means, they make the laws, they do everything. So, and they do it not in your favor or in the favor of those who do not have anything. So, what's the sense of that? I'm sorry, I'm eating now. My potatoes are here.
Yes. Bon appétit.
You want me to go on mute?
No, bon appétit. No problem. So yes, money is the thing about money is that the value, the worth of your saving can fluctuate greatly.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Oh, that was a rather unintelligible bumper. But to come back to the money thing, the even the financial system, even the way it's designed and the player that are in it, it makes absolutely no sense. I once had a conversation at the time of the Madoff scandal with a friend of mine that is an investment banker and a pretty good one at that, at least at the moment. He since retired to start a restoration business. But anyway, the thing is that I asked him what was about this Madoff story, and the guy was telling me I had some money in Madoff, because if someone that is working as an investment banker had some money in Madoff, he was a credible guy. It was a good thing. It was in a good view to be working with Madoff. So he was saying that almost everyone that was investing with the guy was knowing that there was something shady. But the social credit that you got from getting some money, not a lot, just some money with the guy, was important enough so you want to take the risk, you know? And
okay. Do you know this French guy with HSBC?
The which one?
The traitor. The one who was selling data
Falciani?
From HSBC. Falciani, yeah. You know him?
Falciani. Not really. I know the name, but not really. The guy sold some secret, and I think that he's in jail, or he was in jail at one point.
I'm not sure.
But the story are numerous of people that supposedly lost some money, or that had control over an insane amount of money. I always refer to the Nick Leeson story because it's a great one. If there is any truth to it, it's fascinating. Are you familiar with the name Nick Leeson? Nick Leeson was a guy that was working for the bank Barings in London. And he was sent to, I think it was Hong Kong at the time, to settle some issue that the bank were having with some money that was lost somewhere. And he did quite a good job at that, so they gave him some responsibility in Singapore. He go to Singapore, he was overseeing each and everything there, was doing his work, and he noticed that he had a place to trade at the stock exchange there. Took the place, and supposedly he ended up, like I think 3 years later, joining the bank in a debt that was too big to be reimbursed, and the bank had to cease his activity. Was destroyed, and it was the oldest bank in England, and it was the personal bank of the Queen at the time.
Is that an old
and
story?
This guy by himself, by the thing is that at one point, if you believe the story that the guy wrote himself in his book, at one point he was the biggest operator on the stock market in Asia.
Okay.
And some people were letting him act like that because in the end he was becoming too big. And it was not possible for everyone at any point in his bank or on the system altogether to believe that the guy was lying. Because if they were to believe that the guy was lying, everything was lost. So they let him do that for an insane amount of time because they were still expecting him to come true.
Yeah.
And there is also the story of Jérôme Kerviel that supposedly lost $4 billion for BNP Paribas, I think it was.
Okay. So you have something to do with banks, Jerry?
Not at all.
Not at all. You just know a lot of stories about banks.
Yes, I just happened to be aware of my surrounding, but it was more, to be honest, the story we heard that on the media, and that was more the case before. Let's say that for the past 6 or 7 years, I really don't know any more of those stories. The Jérôme Kerviel one was pretty big because, yes, the guy supposedly lost $4 billion just by himself by trading, so But what this guy, this Nick Leeson, the previous character I was speaking about, was saying in his book is that in the end, what was important to the people that were controlling what he was doing and the people in London was the bonus, the yearly bonus. That's what those people were really, really worried about more than the insane amount of fund that he was requesting from London almost on a daily basis. So I don't know if there is any truth to that story, but at least that bank went down in some ways. It was probably the assets were bought by some other organization, but...
Yep.
So I don't really know much about this Falciani character because the story is too recent, let's say.
And Gerdes, you know, I was listening to audios of the latest period because I stopped listening when I left. And now, when I have VLAN, I download on antenna port all the chats. And then when I am home, I can, when I'm working at home, because I'm renovating this house, I'm listening to you and Gaia and Ballyhoo and Laura Mars and whatever. And it's, some of these chats are really interesting.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm trying to do my best to get people and to discuss interesting things every Friday. But this value character is quite interesting because in the end, the guy he was already a fakeologist, let's say, on an earlier period, 2014 to 2015, I think. But under another name and another identity. And he came back and no one really picked up on it until a later period, and the guy disappeared after that.
Is it not the same than with the guy called Phoenician?
Yes, exactly, but this guy was ID Conspire on Fakeologist in 2014, 2015.
What was this enter? I didn't get it.
ID Conspire. K-A-N-S-P-I-R.
Oh yeah, never heard of
it. Yes, which is a shame because the guy was interesting and I really enjoyed talking with him.
Mm-hmm. And he has a good voice.
Yes. Very, very interesting guy. And I really don't understand why the guy wanted to come with a new backstory and a new identity altogether because he was interesting as he was and yes, it was really unneeded.
Maybe he lost his old account.
Yes, but that's, to be honest, that's not the only one. There was this guy from the Netherlands that I did not know of because it was before I came to Fakeologist, but he created a new account and he did spoke with me about some subject and everything, and then Ab came on, and Ab knew the guy like in a minute, in a second. It was quite funny because the guy was saying, no, that's not me.
Who was that?
Oh, it was a Dutch guy.
You mean Soundwave 40?
Yes, Soundwave, mm-hmm. Yes.
But she sounds exactly like Gaia Soundwave.
Yes, in a way. But see, if you are listening to the past chat, yes, there it will be a lot of me and Gaia only. But if I can only recommend one to you, it is the one called Mumbai Mumbling. I think that is the 604. 604. That one is the one I prefer. Because it is a subject that we did not know nothing about in the beginning. And we did ending up doing like just a quick read up of a few Wikipedia pages and linking things together. And it's a short one, but it's a good one.
Was it the Mumbai bombings, you mean?
Yes, some of those, because there were so many.
There was the Indian 9/11, the Mumbai bombing 2005 or 2007?
Yes, exactly. We addressed that one.
Oh, yeah. It's
and the other one, because everything is linked. The thing is that what we discovered live as we were speaking is that everything is linked. There is absolutely no possibility that all those things are not linked and done for a certain reason.
Mm. What was the
which I will not reveal because it will kill the fun of listening to that episode. But yes, we did came up with some great info on that subject and saw some things that were probably never discussed on Fakeologist before.
Mm. But I'm going to listen to it if I find it. But
yes, it is the 604.
Mm-hmm. What, what was the aim of this child?
listen to the episode. I think that we get the point of it in the end.
I'm going to listen to it, yeah. I have to find it and to download it.
Yes. It's find it will not be a problem. I know that it's the Fakeologist Audio Chat 604.
604, yeah.
That I know of.
Cool, yeah. So you could.
And it's a short one?
It's a short one? I don't like the short ones. I like the long ones.
I know, but this one is excellent because in the end, it's like I said, just reading through a few Wikipedia page and discover fascinating links and things and date relation and yes, everything is there, let's say.
But tell me something, Garris, because I'm still curious. What did you do in Dubai?
No. I was mentioning Dubai in the sense that it's where probably there is the best medical care that you can find for money.
I don't think so. The best medical care is in Switzerland.
Yes, for the most more affordable cost, let's say. But if you want the premium, the all the people are where the money is.
I'm sorry. Something funny now. I have a friend who is working at Inselspital, is one of the biggest in Bern. She's a health care expert or whatever. So similar to my age, many years experience, and she's one of the trusted in this personnel. So once she was telling us stories which she's not allowed to speak about, actually, you know, but because we know only privately. And she was saying, she had the honor to wish the ass of Putin when he was doing some operation in the Inselspital. Oh, what an honor!
yes. I totally despise those stories. My fiancé used to watch this show called Downton Abbey, and the story is basically the life and tribulation of Lackey for some aristocratic family in England in the beginning of the past century. And it's horrible. I cannot stand watching 5 minutes of this thing without wanting to throw the TV out, you know?
Yeah.
I really don't understand the deference that little people, if you want, is supposed to have for the great of the world. It's like all those old lady that buy those magazines about the royals and the famous of this world.
Oh yes, which you find when you go to the dentist on the table.
Yes. It's horrible. It's the worst thing ever. And it's continue to sell. I mean, you go to every newsstand, those big billboards and these people should die soon, and this one must have a lover, secret lover, and pictures inside. Pfft, have time for that.
Tell me something, Garris, because I lost the contact with the media completely. Did happen something important lately? I mean,
I did a quick check last week. I got two things for you. I got one in France where supposedly a Muslim convert that was working on the intelligence service stabbed one of his female colleagues and killed three others.
Okay.
And I don't really know because I just know the story as it is. I don't really did a follow-up, so I cannot really tell you the angle they are trying to sell on that story. But that's the story as it is. The guy brought a ceramic to his workplace because it was not detected by the metal detector. And he stabbed some people before he was restrained, and I don't really know if the guy was killed. No, I don't think so. I think that the guy was killed.
But we didn't have any big media pushes.
I really don't know. Because I'm not really in touch with the media. I know that this story happened, and that's the only thing I know about. I just told you.
Yeah.
And the guy supposedly had some secret service access, some secret defense access.
Okay.
some files or whatever about intelligence. The other story that we had last week, and that I know because there was a video, hilarious video, it's like watching Benny Hill again, I should say.
I didn't get it. What did you say?
I said that there was another one in Germany, but I know of that one because there was a video. The guy had a GoPro on a helmet.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
like the guy in New Zealand?
Exactly. But like I said, this one is watchable because this one is like a Benny Hill level. It's wonderful. The guy want to shut a synagogue because why not? I mean, why not?
He was wanted to shut the synagogue? Okay.
Yes,
Berlin, but
I don't know where it was. It was not in Berlin, as far as I know.
It was not in Berlin, okay.
I just watched the video because, like I said, I don't really want to...
Did he kill people, allegedly?
Yes, that's the point. But the video is hilarious. Let me explain to you the video so you don't have to watch this.
Please.
Because
I cannot
so the
watch
guy
it
is,
yeah.
So the guy started to go on a rant about... the gays, the Jews, everything was the fault of the Jews. Because, of course, why not? I mean, and go out of his car, show that he has some explosive, want to go into the synagogue, doesn't manage to go through the door, so start to kicking the door. That doesn't work. Start to shoot the door. His gun is jamming, so cannot go into the synagogue itself. Start to go mad. There is a nice old lady that start to curse at him for a second. Then she goes away, but quietly, not like running or in stress or anything. So the guy shoots her, because why not? She's there. First victim. Then the guy notices that there is a kebab stand near there, so he goes into the kebab stand. And all that with a car passing by and no one really accelerating or acting shocked, notice that the guy is wearing a full combat gear with an automatic rifle.
Okay.
But no one seemed to be bothered by that fact. Everyone is driving by pretty quietly. He starts to want to shoot people inside the kebab, but once again his gun is jamming, so he lost an insane amount of time trying to unjam his gun. He finally managed to shoot someone that was, I think, probably already wounded on the back of the kebab. That is his second victim. And after that he leaves the kebab because his gun doesn't stop to jam again. He then starts to go into a shootout with the police, but since the guy is pretty well-trained and it is not a scenario or anything, he tried to kill cops with a shotgun, but the cops are like 100 or 150 meters away. So the guy has absolutely no chance of hitting anything in that manner. The cops shot back. Of course, the cops have weapons that have a wider, a longer range of action, so the cops manage to hurt him on the shoulder. The guy starts to cry and curse for a few seconds, and then he decides to throw his GoPro camera out of the window. And all that was streamed live on Twitch, which is a...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
So like I said, all that was streamed live on Twitch, which is a gaming streaming service, for those who don't know that.
Do you game, Garris?
No, I don't have the time for that. Life is too short.
Life is too short, okay. But you have
I lost quite
as
a...
I mentioned.
Yes, but I don't see them as often as I would, so... Let's say that I'm not currently raising my children, so that is not what is consuming my time. But
I did not know that. So you are not living with the mother of your children, but with another woman.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I am a modern man, let's say.
But the children are in Geneva also?
No. I did not make that crucial mistake of... having your children in the same city that you are living, but being restricted by law in the time and the moment that you can spend with said children. I'd rather have children in another town if that's to go wrong, you know.
So
the
you
thing
are
is that I wanted... The thing is that, for example, if you make a children in Switzerland and things go wrong with the lady, and the lady start to want to restrict you from seeing the children, you get to go in front of the judge, and the judge will give you a time and date, and you know what I mean? You can run into your children in the street and not be able to interact with him or her, you know?
So you are restricted by law to meet them without a third person that is watching. Is that
No, it's not mandatory, but the thing is that there is a time and date, you know? And if your ex really want to, is really mad at you, or some conflict, or whatever...
She was really mad at you, I think.
That is the case. So, but the thing is that I always wanted to see other place in Switzerland, so the... I had two children, let's get personal for a while, for a moment. I had two children with two different women in two different towns in Switzerland. Because I always wanted to move out. So each and every time I did take all my stuff and move into that town, find the work and try to do everything right. And each and every time
You're really a movable person. Okay.
Yes.
Biography.
Yes. So I did that twice, and twice I did came back to Geneva, and I'm living on the aftermath of that.
You are living what? I didn't get it.
The aftermath of all those situations.
Ah, yeah. So it's new for you, Geneva.
No, I always been there, but I did move out twice and came back in... I did move out from 2000, late 2006 to early 2008, and then... Mid-2013 to late-2013, which was very short, but in the meantime, I was never really in Geneva. That was my main residence, but I was always in Fribourg.
Ah, okay, that's very close to Bern. 20 minutes with the train.
Yes, my son is living in Bühl.
In Bühl or Bühl?
Bühl. Bühl.
Bühl. I don't know Bühl. Where is Bühl?
Bühl is near Fribourg.
Ah, Bühl.
Fribourg and Bühl.
But you don't say it correctly. It's Bühl, not Bühl.
Bühl. Bühl.
Ah, Bühl. Bühl. Yeah, I know Bühl.
Bühl.
Okay. I still think you are Russian. I don't know why. Your accent is
not
Russian.
Yeah? I don't... Maybe. I don't know. I'm not Russian at all. I am half French Swiss, you know, Swiss Roman.
Yeah. Swiss Roman.
I have some family in Bern.
You have family in Bern?
Yes.
Ah, you had. Yeah, okay.
I had. Not anymore, because Swiss people tend to not reproduce that much, so everyone is dead. Yes. And the other part
Swiss
of my family is in Tesserete, in Ticino.
Ticino? You have Italian roots?
A bit.
A bit? Ah, okay. From which part of Italy?
Not Italy, in Ticino.
Yes, but the Ticinese have roots in Italy, mostly.
Yes, that I don't know of. Really, I don't know. And in that part of the family, I just have an aunt that is living in a retirement home, and everyone is dead because the last one of them were my uncle and aunt, and they did not reproduce. The only one that reproduced was my grandmother, but she died fairly young, so she only had two children. And of those, only one had a child, which is my mother, so...
Oh, man, that's a very small family.
Exactly.
And you have... But that's a pity, Jerry's or Gary's?
Whatever suits you the best. My real name is...
No, I want to know the correct pronunciation. How do the friends call you?
But it is not... It is only my name on Discord. So let's say Jerry's.
Aha!
Gary's.
Ah, it's only your name on Discord. What's your real name?
My real name is Benoit, but it's on my Discord.
Benoit, it's a first name? It's not a family name? Ah, I didn't know that. Ah,
no, because someone was claiming that my French accent was fake and that I was someone else. So I did publish my full name.
I know the story. And I agree, you know, that your French accent is a little bit strange.
It is what it is.
Yes, it is what it is, but it has influences from East Europe. And to be honest, I have no knowledge of Genevois pronunciation because I do not have friends from Geneva. But I have friends from Fribourg, and I was working, my co-worker in the office was with Romain, and she was from Fribourg, and we were working together 10 years, and she speaks differently, German and English and French also. So, I don't know, maybe...
I think that it's almost similar to the French accent, but not so much.
I don't know. I cannot say. I actually, just spontaneous, I thought you were of Russian descent and grown in Geneva or something. That was
no.
My
but,
first,
but let's be honest, if you look at the population that is around, you can totally think that Geneva is an Eastern European city.
Is it an Eastern European city? Why?
Let's say that we probably immigrants? Have half of the population of Pristina.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. I was thinking, you know, the same thing or a similar thought about these Pakistani young men who are living here. They are really so young. They are between 17 and maybe 25 or the highest is maybe 28 or something. I haven't seen one who I would say he's middle-aged, you know, more than 30.
Yes.
They are really young, like children, and they are only men, and they live many, many together in houses, and if they stay here, they're going to find some girls, of course, sometime, and maybe after three generations,
it will
be a mixed society. And why? It's good, I think. It needs a renewal.
Yes, it can
Europe
be totally
dying.
Good, but let's say that the people that are choosing who is going where, because there is people that are doing that in the migration flux.
Yes, of course.
The people choose those type of individual because they are solid. You know, and this life is hard. And you choose the one that will last longer, that will be able to send money back home for the longer time. And those are the younger males, sadly enough.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, the hope for them, for most of them, to find a nice Greek girl to marry and raise child with, is pretty small.
No, in this village, it is impossible because they are going to be killed by the father of the girl.
Yes.
They are really very brutal, I think. I've never heard.
Yes. But so what are they doing? Are they going in pack into the town to find prostitute or what is...
No. Oh, I don't know that. What they are doing is for their sexuality, I have no idea.
That's a good question.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Maybe I have a bad spirit, but I did think about that when you mentioned those guys, because you say they're young, living in packs, and
it's really tragic.
And,
it's really tragic.
Yes, yes.
And they are
those are the best years of your life, most times.
Yeah, I don't know. There are happening many things in the world today that we have never heard of and never thought of that are going to happen, and... It's really, let's be curious and see what the future brings.
Yes, but it's sad that there is a generation of people that will not have a chance to live the normal life because those people will be used for a lowest wage possible, for the longest time possible, and then if they don't have the street intelligence, let's say, the street wiseness to raise out of that... Maybe a few years after that, let's say...
Oh,
when
they are really smart. You won't believe what they are able to do, you know. They have fixed some old motorcycles. They are riding motorcycles which you cannot see anymore on images because they do not exist, you know. Some motorcycles from the 50s, and they fix it and they drive with those. They go to the fields and they work here and there, and some of them are successful, and they have jobs with the Greek boss. So they learn something. For example, they learn carpenter or, several construction specialities, something like that. It's very interesting to watch. Yeah. So, Benoit, I have to leave now.
Yes. I hope that you had a great meal.
Pardon?
Yes,
it was pommes frites with ketchup, made from Evangelia, the woman, and the potatoes are local and they are biological. And now I have to go this 100 meters to my house. And I hope we will meet again. I have only internet when I'm here in the shop or in another shop, but there is no other shop in this village. So if we want to talk again, you can write to me and I find the message when I'm on internet again.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the conversation.
Oh,
bye-bye to everyone.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Bye, Benoit. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that has been Psychologist Audio Chat. I don't know which number, but I think that we are closing in to the 620 probably. So, everyone, bye, and I hope that you enjoyed this nice conversation with this always great to talk to lady. That is Faye. That was Gary's Benoit. Bye.
That's all, folks.